You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of 10 Till Places, a theater podcast. My name is Aaliyah Gardner, and I am your host. Now, before we jump into this week's episode with Jessica Falduyan, a freelance music producer who's currently in Los Angeles, California at the moment, I just wanted to do a quick note and say I apologize if we're laughing and joking and just having a good old dandy time, because Jessica is an old friend of mine, so it was really like playing a game of catch up with when I was talking to her, and we just had so much fun recording this podcast. And I just want to do a special thank you to Jessica for hopping on. Hopefully it will not be the last time, because the chemistry was electric. But without further ado, let's go ahead and jump into our conversation about the arts and what it's like to be a music producer in LA. I hope that you guys enjoy.
All right. Hello and welcome back to 10 Till Places, a theater podcast. My name is Aaliyah Gardner. I am your host, and I am here with the lovely Jessica Falduyan.
Hi.
I'm very excited. Thank you so much for doing this. It means so much to me. Let's just jump into it. Yeah, who are you?
I am Jessica. I do freelance music producer. Let me start that sentence again, because it's nice. I'm a freelance music producer out in LA, and I do the music thing. I don't know how else.
The music, listen, it works. The music thing. I love that.
It's great. On my business card. Just the music thing.
Nice. I love that. What exactly brought you out to LA specifically? Because I know there's a couple things that you've been dabbling in, but like, yeah. I'm excited to hear it.
So that actually was a funny journey for me in terms of like deciding California, because I'm actually born in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And so like the natural choice for me to be to go to New York. And then I think it was partway through college, I was reading this book from, I'm just going to say it, like my favorite YouTuber at the time, Connor Franta. He put out this book, and it, like, he talked about going to LA and California. I just sat with it for a second, and I kept saying LA. LA. And then like, I realized I'm like, I think it's LA that I want to go to, which is like so mind boggling, because I've been an East Coast gal my entire life. And so by the time I got out of college, I fully decided that I wanted to go to LA, because like, I'm still relatively young. So like, as long as like, I wanted to experience the West Coast while I still had the chance. So yeah. And then I also realized that in terms of the music that I wanted to do, LA was a better place than New York. Just because a lot of my jazz friends went to New York and not LA, like purely jazz musicians went to New York and not LA. Or like if you're into Broadway, you go to New York and not LA.
Yeah.
So like I liked producing pop music, and the sound that I like to make is very LA scene, if you will. So
nice. No, I love that. That's great. I mean, how have you been adjusting so far? Like how is Jessica, like horny girl from the East Coast, like doing in LA? Like what have you been like up to? And
it's so funny that you say quirky girl from the East Coast, because in college I met so many people that said, oh, you're definitely from California. I was like, literally, no. Literally. And it was like during a time where I was like, I've never been to California ever. There was only like one or two times I've been, and that was before all the people asked me, like, mm-hmm. assumed I was from California.
Yeah.
But I will say, it definitely was a very weird transition, because I realized the majority of people in LA have a very different mindset than the ones in New York. Like, I'm used to the, like, you gotta grind hard, you gotta, like, move fast, you gotta walk here, walk there kind of mentality that New York people have. And then you come to LA, and even though there are a lot of people who work hard here, I'm not, like, downplaying that, but the general feel is, like, chill, vibes, summertime, let's go down to the beach. And like, yeah, it's a very like chill vibe. And a lot, I just because I do pop music, I also ran into a lot of people that very much focused on looks and like kind of materialistic sort of things. So it was kind of weird adjusting to that, which is like, and I had to get used to it because with the kind of music that I like to produce, that's the kind of clientele I'd have. But then it's one of those things where you just have to find the right people in the city that you move to. And then once you do, then everything else is so much easier. And I'm just lucky that a lot of people that I went to college with just so happened to move here too. So wow, yeah. Yeah, a lot. It's funny because a lot of the people I knew are all film scorers. So like, I'll hang out with them, and everyone will assume I'm a film scorer, and I'm like, nope.
No. Maybe for the next Fault in Our Stars movie.
Oh my god! Yeah.
Not
exactly.
Oscar? No, I'm just kidding.
No.
No, I'm just kidding. No, your music is great. Honestly, I've heard some of your stuff, and it's honestly, it's great. It's great. I'm genuinely a fan, and like I mean that. I swear, I'm nitpicky. Like, I'm nitpicky. So I'm like, I am. I will admit, like, it's in like your YouTube channel. You just have such this big, awesome personality. It's just crazy how all these people think that you're from LA, because I really think that you stick out like a sore thumb compared to some of like the YouTubers who are from LA, like, but in a good way, in a good way. I mean that.
Oh, thanks.
Nothing but love. But like, but like, what is your like normal like day-to-day like you wake up and you're working on a project today, like how can you run through that?
It definitely, like being in the music industry, it definitely changes day-to-day, because like it depends on the project, it depends on this, because there are a lot of projects where you have to let it rest for a second and then listen to it the next day. But in general, I'd say wake up around 8:30 a.m. and then when I wake up, do yoga, because I also have like this weird body that tenses up very easily. So I try to do yoga and stretch it out. And then I get into work. And what I do is I set a list of projects that I have to work on. And then I prioritize the projects that I've been hired to do. Mm-hmm. And then after that, like maybe around like, I'm trying to guesstimate the hours.
I wish that they'll be able to see you, because it'll just
be just like the little faces that
I'm yeah, exactly.
I'd say around roughly 5 hours of like doing hired work, and then I would take a quick break, probably like workout or something, and then that would roughly be around 30 minutes to an hour, and then I would do the work for myself, for like for my YouTube channel or for my own music that hopefully will be coming out soon, and then I forgot to include this, and I want to say this because it's very important. Don't forget to eat. There are a lot of people like me who forget to eat. At some point in that little to-do list, you have to eat at some point.
I feel attacked. Like, I never eat. Are you kidding me? Jessica, literally, I never eat. It's so bad. And my boyfriend has an alarm on his phone that says, like, at 7 p.m., did Aaliyah eat? And I didn't tell him to put it there. That's just how bad it is. So
that, what a hero.
He'll be so grateful. But
I'm on the same page where like I am so bad at sleep. Like health is very important to me, because in college, my sleep schedule was horrific. I was addicted to energy drinks just to keep me awake. Like I was awake for a whole week straight with just 5-minute naps in between each day.
What?
It was bad. And that was finals week for me.
Oh wow. Did you get those finals? I'm just kidding. I don't condone that. No, that's crazy. Wow. No, I can see how it can be like addicting though. That's crazy.
And I've been like, let me start that sentence again. So I've just been really lucky to be surrounded by people who actually care about me, because a lot, like I do a lot of like self-deprecating jokes where it's like, oh, I don't know how to sleep. And then a lot of the friends that care about me will be like, you know, Jess, that's really bad for you, right? And then thankfully my boyfriend, funny, your boyfriend reminds you to eat. My boyfriend reminds me to sleep. But like I'll remember he'll be texting me like, Jessica, are you going to go to sleep soon? And I'll be like, oh yeah, I probably should do that, huh?
You know, let's just give a big salute to the boyfriends out there, because
you're doing God's work, truly.
Your girls are dying, like, for real, for real. I'm not even kidding. It's, man, it's so, you know what? Now that I know that about you, I will do my best to check in and see if you're sleeping, if you've gotten sleep. And I expect you to do the same for me if I
eat. Yes. It's like, no, oh, Aaliyah, did you eat today?
I did. That's a good question. I'm having too much fun.
I mean, to be completely honest, the only thing I ate so far is like a few baby carrots. Like, there are baby carrots sitting right there on my desk right now.
You're doing better than me. I had a Red Bull, ironically. So maybe a couple of fries left over from my dinner last night.
That's so good. Oh, fries are amazing.
From Checkers too. So
I haven't had Checkers in so long.
It's so good. DoorDash is a menace. It's bad.
I've had, like, the last time I had fries, it was with animal style fries from In-N-Out.
Cali girl. Like, excuse me.
They're like, oh, you're that kind of girl.
Oh man. That's so good. I'm sorry. I'm having too much fun over here.
Oh, I mean, sick.
Speaking of work as a producer, how did you squeeze that big project that, like, you know, I don't know, the Coco Celebration of Music? Mm-hmm. How did you score that? For those who don't even know, there is this incredible concert on Disney Plus right now that you can watch, and it is a celebration of music from the movie Coco by Disney, and it's incredible because there's all these beautiful, like, Latina performers, and there's dancing, and there's just beautiful music, and it's such a great celebration of the Mexican culture and of the movie itself and how it represents the a different, you know, group of individuals for once, which is like the coolest thing ever. So, long-winded, how did you get involved with that? Because Jessica was involved. She got to work the show.
Yeah, so basically, this really stems from the whole narrative of it really depends on who you know. There's this girl named Essid, and I went to college with her, and we bonded over writing musical theater stuff together. And she just emailed me one day, said, like, hey, Jess, there's this opportunity to do a show at the Hollywood Bowl, and we need, like, extra people. Could you help out? And I was like, okay, great. Yeah, sure. But that was also during when the fires were happening. So it was like one of the strangest weeks I've ever had in my whole life. But yeah, so like, my friend Essen invited me to come on, and then immediately she sent me and a bunch of other people like schedules and like a breakdown of the show, like these are the days you're going to work and like what's it going to be like, what you have to dress like. So it was definitely a very great experience. And also it was a nice refresher on how musical theater life is, because I haven't really touched on that too much ever since being in LA, except for like one kind of musical project that hasn't really aired or anything.
Mm-hmm. No, that's crazy. It's just, oh man, me and my boyfriend finally watched it, because I kept looking at it on, like, it's always just been on the queue or whatever, like, mm-hmm. Yeah, like maybe up next you can watch this, because he's obsessed with Coco. He loves that movie. That's like one of his, I think, if his favorite Disney movie is Coco.
Really? Oh, that's awesome.
Like almost like every night, like maybe if the drinks have been flowing and we just need something to put on, he's like, I'm just gonna watch Coco. And I'm like, okay, yeah. And every time we watch it, we always just see something new, and it's I don't know, it's just such a beautiful movie.
Oh, yeah.
And then seeing it, like, how did you, were you, was it like one of those, because you're an ASR, so it was like one of those like jobs where you kind of didn't really get to hear the show that much, or like how it did, can you, are you allowed to like get into like what exactly the, like a night of the show, like would
I think like, yeah, I didn't sign any contracts about like keeping that much a secret, but but basically it was both a mix of like being able to watch the show but also being alert of what you're doing it, because like it'd be different if you were like a techie or something like mm-hmm. that. But because I specifically was in charge of like taking care of the artist I was assigned to. I was in charge of that artist's queue. And so part of my job was to watch the show. And so like, so as long as we were out of the way of all the actors and all the other techies, that's completely fine. But there'd be this screen where you watch the show and like you just wait for the artist queue and then you grab, and then like within like 5 to 10 minutes of that person's queue, then you knock on the door and be like, you have five, and then you help guide them through.
Nice.
Yes.
So fancy. That's a very fancy job. And for those who are listening and are like, oh my gosh, I'm dying to know who it was, she can't talk about it. Mm-mm. So, it, which is perfectly fine, but you know, it's a private thing. So before you're blowing up or anything, Aaliyah, who was it? I don't know. She can't tell me. don't ask. But, no, it was just so exciting because when we were watching it, I don't know if you're familiar with the show Jane the Virgin, but
I've watched here and there.
Yes, we have been obsessed with that show so much since, especially because of quarantine, because Joseph, my boyfriend, has watched it all the way through once. And he's like, you have to watch the show. So he's watching it with me all the way through again, since all the seasons are on Netflix.
Nice.
But the main character's dad, I wrote it down. Jaime Camille, he's going to kill me because I don't know how to pronounce his name. Because I mean, we're big fans, but no, when he was in the show, because he was in like the little mariachi outfit and singing in Spanish, and it was just like, yeah, this thing. Because I was like, we know Spanish performers, that's crazy. But it was a really cheesy, fun thing, but it was just such a really cool thing that the fact that you got to be involved with that.
Yeah.
How was the experience like with, and we're not allowed to say who, but like with the star and everything, pretty. All in all, pretty decent experience.
Overall, really pretty decent experience. Like all the artists that were in the show were incredibly sweet, incredibly nice. And they really pushed for like the artists to really lean on their ASR, like really rely on your ASR. So there was like a sense of communication with each other, which is really, really great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's nice. I love that. That's so nice. They all seem like incredible people. That I don't know how Disney snatched up some of those performers, but wow. Yeah.
The one thing I will say about the Coco that appeared on Disney Plus, like I'm just sad that it wasn't the whole show, because like yeah, because like there are so many performances that I absolutely love that they didn't include. I'm just like, that's wild. Like I felt bad for Lele Pons. Because she was like the host of the show she was the host and she wasn't included on the Disney Plus thing. I felt so bad for her.
That sucks. The Lele got robbed. That's crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Yeah, she was a fantastic host, and then just seeing her not show up on Disney Plus, I'm just like, mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that does stink. Mm-hmm. But, you know, hey, you're the only one that I know who knows what the whole show is like. So you should be on a pedestal right now.
Oh, like, stop.
She has all the knowledge. No, that's awesome. That's incredible. Is there anything else that you're, like, working on at the moment? Like, are you currently, like, I guess, I don't, you're freelance. So, like, are you currently employed at the moment? Working on.
Thankfully, I am still employed because I also like I did have two part-time jobs when the pandemic started. I quit one of them recently. I won't say which one, but the one that I'm still working for, I've had ever since I moved here to LA. Actually, So I had an internship, and then I got I was able to pick up this job from someone else that I knew. And I'm working for a music publishing place that does stuff like that contributes music for like The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. And it's my job is basically just to organize the music library and like send out agreements and supplements, like legal papers to all the composers out there. And so that's what I'm doing for like at least steady money flow. And in terms of like freelance, I actually have been getting a pretty decent amount because I work as a independent contractor for two online companies where their clients are people who have these lyrics or these poems that they want to turn into music, but they just don't know how. And so I'm one of the anonymous producers that receives the lyrics and makes the melody and makes the instrumental track and sends it back to them. Yeah, so I've been getting so in terms of like working with different artists, I'm working for these clients who have these lyrics that whether it be for like a family friend's a present for a family friend or like it's their song they just want to have fully realized. So yeah, I've been getting decent amount of projects with that. Not enough for me to sit, be like, oh, I'm comfortable all the time. But
no. Oh yeah. Any artist, I feel, mm-hmm. unless you're Beyonce, like any artist.
Honestly, yes.
She's sitting pretty. But no, like it's just like that's the honestly one of the coolest jobs that I've ever heard my friend tell me before, which like I'm so proud of you. Congratulations.
Oh,
like you seem to be doing really well for yourself.
Trying my best though.
Yeah, we're like doing the donkey paddle. Yeah, like, all right, we're out here, but you know, we're still surviving.
Yeah, I feel bad for like my musician friends who are purely players because their income is practically kaput because they rely heavily on things being open and crowds coming in, which of course we can't really have now. So a lot of them are under unemployment, but a lot of us are really using like I bet like you're getting this. You've been heard this narrative too, where a lot of us are trying to use this time as best as we can to kind of like up our brand or up our skills and everything. Yeah. So, when I'm not doing work, I'm trying to like post more on YouTube since I didn't have time to do that before. Mm-hmm. And also last year I spent a lot of time like focusing on my health. So I completely like took a big pause on the whole YouTube uploading thing. So now I'm spending this time trying to catch up.
Nice. No, that's great. I'm glad that, I mean, everybody needs their time. Like after a certain point, I mean, you're just like me in the fact that like we work all the time and we get consumed in work very easily. So, which it can be a good thing and it can be a bad thing sometimes. So it's right. Like, so yeah, I'm very happy that you took the time to focus on yourself, but I'm so happy that you're working on YouTube again, because that was one of my soul entertainments. Everybody needs to go onto Jessica's YouTube page because she's awesome. Very just point blank period. She's great because she posts these great videos of like maybe she'll make a song in one of her videos or she'll just make a compilation of all these different songs. And it's just very, very cool. And if you like anybody, like who's that one guy that did Paint? If you like the YouTube channel Paint,
Funny that you say his name because that was one of my biggest inspirations. Paint,
really?
Yeah,
Paint, awesome.
Paint and Kurt Hugo Schneider are like my two YouTube inspirations.
Yes, I love all of them. I love both of them. Oh my gosh! But like, that's so great. No, because like it's just that's so great because like I love that kind of content. I love music and I love like just genuinely decent people, and the internet is full of a lot of nasty people, as I'm sure you're on YouTube, so you already know what's been going on.
We know what's up.
Nonsense, but it's crazy. But it's in all of that, she's definitely one of those YouTubers, in my humble opinion, that is like just a breath of fresh air. If you want to get away from politics or people tea being spilled and like got hot gossip, go check out her channel. What is your YouTube channel, Miss Jessica?
It is youtube.com/JessicaFadulian, just my name. And funny enough, that's not my YouTube channel name, actually, when you like, go to the page. Because like my link is youtube.com/JessicaFadulian, but like I show up as Jess C. So it's been confusing to some people, but if they look up just my name, then they'll find it.
Perfect. Yeah, there you go. But overall, I'm very grateful to have you as a person in my life that we have like, you know, just crossed paths, because you're
same.
Just you're so talented and great. And I don't know, it's just really cool. So,
I mean, I got to return the favor to you, because like when I started working at that other place, you were like my saving grace, like come help me, because like, you were so, especially since like they already had like a set teaching plan. Instead, like watching you do so well with it, and then I'm just like, okay, that's what I have to do. All right, I'll do that. Oh, like, that helped me out so much.
That is the nicest thing. Oh man, that's so sweet. Well, with that, thank you so much for hopping on and chatting about your work. Honestly, everybody go look her up on Instagram and YouTube and all the places. All of her information will be in our description. And yes, that's all. Thanks for tuning in and listening. Thank you, Jessica, so much.
Of course. And, well, thank you for having me.
Oh, of course, of course. Honestly, I would love to have you back. This was great. But anyways, we will see you guys. That's another one. See, if you guys like this one, maybe I'll bring her back. But thank you so much for listening, and we will hear you guys in the next one. Bye.
Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.